coming back next week after a long hiatus. I don't know why it went on hiatus, but it did, and now it's back. But we're asking you if you have questions for Phelps Helps or Askin Baskin, that you just go to the Odyssey app. And like if you're doing it right now and you just got to listen live, there's also a button on there that you just push, and then you can ask your question on there too. So you're like, Andy, I didn't know what kind of candy to give away on Halloween. What should I have done? And then you just, like a voicemail message, leave it on there, then it comes into the system. And then just, and say your name on the front. Go, you know, I'm Bill from Parma, or I'm, I don't know, Susie from...
Ron from Wycliffe.
From anywhere. Yeah, Susie right. from Strongsville. Or Stowe, or wherever you want to be from.
Whatever, it's an S.
And then say, yeah, it's got to be...
It's got to be an S. We're alliteration
yeah.
only.
Yeah, that's all we do. And then ask your question. You're like, why do you guys pick on Hody so much? Like, that's not a bad question.
Because he deserves it.
Or if you just need, like, huge, you know, some sort of question that you just can't answer that's extremely Mensa-like that you know that I'll have no answer for, but I'll make up one, then you do that too. So it's Askin Baskin, Phelps Helps. It comes back next week. You can always hit us up on social media too at CLE Talking Heads, as we used to do it. We used to take phone calls too. It's just a lot easier. It'll be a little bit more fun if you do it this way. So take the time, go to the app, and then we'll turn it around. We'll play it on the air. Last night, Halloween, how was it for you?
So I had less kids than we typically do. So I live relatively close to a pretty dense kid area.
Mm-hmm.
And in years past, we have just flown through candy. And this year it was a little less. I wonder if the rain like kept people away. Or the threat of rain, I should say. Or I'll ask you first and I'll give you my other theory.
Right.
How was yours?
Lame. I mean, I shouldn't say lame. Like, the folks on my street are awesome. But I can't remember Halloween where you know, we like to sit outside and talk to the neighbors and just have a little bit of fun. I know I heard Lima talking about bonfires. Like, I think that's awesome when communities get together and you got, you know, there's, you know, it's another reason maybe to have a cocktail for some of the parents and, you know, as they're walking around. I get all that stuff. As long as you don't get out of hand, it's fine. But I've never seen in our neighborhood more houses that said the sign that said take one, and they just left a bucket out front. Especially, I mean, I get it. Like, when you have little kids, you know, both parents most time, if you're in that situation, or both people are responsible for the kid.
Right.
Want to go for the walk, especially, you know, you're like, oh, look how cute that kid looks, or look at, you know, that and this. And it's fun. Like, I like getting out and walking, you know, now as our kids are too old for that stuff. So we end up just sitting there and we wait and we see what the little kids in the neighborhood are wearing. And
absolutely,
they come over. But I'm telling you, I'm just throwing out a random number. If there's like 30 houses on our street, 27 of them all had a bowl out front that said, please take one. It was insane. And then, you know, this is all on the heels of, so you got to hear this one. So my wife says to me 3 days ago, I went to blank store and they were out of candy. And I'm like,
what?
There's no way they were out of candy.
What?
You know, happy wife, happy life. So I was like, oh, that's a shame, honey. I can't believe that. That's weird. So she's been busy. I've been busy. We have all kinds of stuff going on, right? And she said, hey, can you pick up some candy? Just get the candy. So I'm like, okay, I'll pick up candy. Meanwhile, you know, like, I was at practice the other night, and it was like till 11 o'clock at night, and on the 30th, and I'm like, oh, I said I was going to get candy. So I stop at the box store that's open late, and I'm like, they got a ton of candy here, right? Ton of it. And so, you know, I look at Tropical Storm, who's with me at the time, and I'm like, hey, what do you think we should do? And so I got like one bag of 70 pieces and another one of 70 pieces and another one of 30. I'm like, we're not going to run out of candy. I don't want to be that. And of course, we all know you're never going to run out of candy because you're going to eat it when it's all said and done anyway, right? Yep. It's the biggest scam ever because you know you're going to end up eating it when it's all said and done. So they're like, okay, good. And then even later, it was still later at night, and I had to go pick up our daughter at college. So I didn't get home till real late on the 30th, but I felt like I was a good husband. I went out and I bought the candy. I said I was going to do it. I came through, right? I came through. So now I come home and I've got the candy in my hand, and, you know, wife's asleep, and I'm like, she's going to be proud of me in the morning because I bought the candy. I went out and got it.
Right.
What happened when I walked in the door?
She already bought it.
Like 10 times the amount of candy that I bought.
Oh, no.
So now we have double candy.
Oh, so now you basically own a corner store.
And so in the morning, I'm like, hey, remember when you said, will you pick up? I said I would pick up the candy. Oh, well, I guess you never confirmed. So now we got all this candy. I'm going to end up bringing it in on Monday. I'll leave it out here. The vultures in this place will be gone in about 30 seconds.
Well, Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Did you go trick-or-treating last night? I'm sure you dressed up and went out, right?
No, I was actually working at another job of mine, and I was actually handing out candy.
Now I could actually see you as the adult that gets dressed up and knocks on doors and has a pillowcase.
I don't know if it would have been smart for me to dress up like Glenn Quagmire and go house to house.
That would have been kind of funny, though.
All right. I just don't.
I'm not going to lie. Okay.
I'm throwing this out there.
Okay.
Because of what you've laid out, what I have laid out when it came to turnout for trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
I think we have a problem.
Why?
Well, what's happening now is it seems there are so many different candy options that are taking place across the month of October that by the time we get to October 31st, these kids are just so done with trick-or-treating to begin with.
Never.
My niece and nephew, for example, went to the zoo and did their trick-or-treating. They went to a trunk-or-treat. They went to a daytime trick-or-treat that was somewhere. And I think they went to another one at the park. And by the time they got to, you know, to the house to then start trick-or-treating my neighborhood, they'd already hit four of them and were like, yeah, we got enough candy. I don't know what you're talking about. When I was that age, we had one. And you hauled because you knew this was it.
You had 2 hours to get it done.
You had 2 hours to get as much candy as you can because this is it. You are getting it today and only today, and you will never see it again for 365 days. So you got to go.
You won't see candy again at least until Christmas. I mean, come on.
Exactly. So you know how far away that is? So now we're living in this world where these kids are doing trunk-or-treats. They're doing the zoo trick-or-treats, they're doing all of this stuff, and they're hitting like four of these things.
Yeah.
And so by the time Halloween comes, we're stocking up like it's us growing up where you had one shot and that's it. But in reality, they're on like shot five and are like, can we not do this anymore? I don't want to walk. Like, we had a family go by. They were driving the kids down the street idling, stopping the car, throwing it in the park.
Oh,
kids
that
walking
happens.
Out, trick or treat. It's like, no, this is not how this works. You can't bring in automobiles.
What are you talking about?
No.
Like, I'm telling you, especially when our kids were little, there was all, and we did it every once in a while because we had friends that lived in other neighborhoods. You do the whole, it's a road game for Halloween.
Right. You go to somebody else's neighborhood and trick or treat.
Yeah.
But you did it on foot. You didn't have somebody's
mom. So what would happen is
pull up the van.
There would be parents that would hit the neighborhoods where you thought you had a chance for a full candy bar, right?
Right.
They drop off their kids at the top of the street. They go find a parking lot. They go chill. They let the kids go get candy from everybody's house. Then they come back. People open the door like, where are these kids coming from?
Now that I can get behind.
Do these kids live in my neighborhood? I don't understand.
I can get behind. The problem I had was what we had this year, which was parents that were idling down the street house to house, opening the door of letting the kids out. Kids get back in the car. They go to the next house, open the door. They were doing that.
Wait, they were in the car?
They were
getting in and out?
The car.
Like couldn't even walk to the next house on the sidewalk?
Nope.
Oh, man.
Oh, it was
wrong. Is
that
a West Side thing?
It was wrong.
Is that an East Side, West Side thing? Because I can't imagine that happened on the East Side.
I didn't think it could happen on the West Side, but it happened. And I was looking at them going, what are we doing here? Like, this is a problem. We can't even walk for candy anymore? That was a crime. That just felt like a crime. That felt like it should be against the law.
Hmm. It's interesting. Yeah, we did. We heard, and then, by the way, I'm going back to my story there for a second.
Of course.
So we doubled up on the candy, almost tripled up on the candy, and maybe had 15 kids last night. 15 kids. I'm telling you, I think that either the dentists or the toothpaste companies are behind this. The dental floss companies are behind this. There's something behind this, right?
Is there, maybe someone can help us on this at CLE Talking Heads. Is there a place that you can donate all the candy that you didn't give away? Like, just even like cut the load in half so that you have some that you can enjoy for a while, but then like a chunk of it that you could like I don't know if the food bank takes it. I don't know if like
so
somewhere
had,
like that.
You had your nephews and nieces, right?
Right.
Did you go through their candy at the end of the night?
Their parents did kind of the once over.
Is it cool as a parent to steal their candy?
Oh yeah, that's how you learn about taxes.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how taxes
work. It's a candy tax. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, my father always taught it to me as taxes. This is how taxes work. So here's your net sum that you have here. And then this is called taxes. This is what we take to give you a house and food and all of those kind of things and make sure everything's in good order.
But would he ever take any of the candy you know you... Like, you always went through it. I'd be like, oh, I got to...
Yeah, here's all the... Like, I'm not an Almond Joy or a Mounds Bar guy.
Okay, but like...
I'm not a coconut guy.
Like, what was that? A full Snickers, right? That's the gold standard.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So he'd never go that far, but you'd always get a couple Reese's Cups that were taken, you know? He would definitely hit those. He'd hit my Butterfingers, too. But, yeah, that's how you teach taxes to children. You know, it's that whole idea of like, okay, so here's what you have. This is your income. This is what we need to take to give you services and needs.
So no problems at all, right? You didn't have any problems with anything last night? It was fun. Everything was good?
No issues, no hiccups, nothing along those lines that took place outside of just, you know, the goofiness that comes with it all. You know what? It's fun. I'm thrilled we do it. It's something that, you know, is great for kids. It's great for the neighborhood. It's good to see the neighbors. It's good to do all of those kind of things. Just don't drive house to house in the car.
That is weird.
That's just like, I'm not a man of many rules and you know.
And morals? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, keep going. A few morals too.
You were going down that road. You can keep going there. Well. So.
But driving house to house feels wrong.
All right, Adam has your answer. We'll give him 30 seconds to do it. Adam, give him his answer.
Man. Where can I donate some
of
this?
Take the candy to Fairview Park Fire Department. They pass out candy on Christmas Eve. So it's a good place to drop it off if you don't want to eat it or you don't want all your kids to pound it down.
No, that's killer because I don't need to get
wider. And a lot of the local dentists will take it off your hands so they can then donate it.
Hmm. Would you say most fire departments do that or no?
No, there's only certain ones in the area that do drive the trucks around on Christmas Eve and pass out candy.
Oh, that's cool.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate that.
We're smarter today for your phone call. Thank you. Appreciate
all right, that's good
it.
You got it. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Adam in Olmsted Falls.
I'll write that down because I gotta get rid of some of this or else I'm going to be waddling into work.
All right. Are you a believer in the Cavs? Another big one tonight. Well, it's a big one because you wanted to keep that zero on the other side of the loss column. Or on the loss column, I should say. So 216-474-0092. Are you a believer? Plus Brian Anderson at noon, Tim May at 1, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3. And all the rumors and all the behind the scenes and the numbers behind this stuff. Daryl has it all.
I mean, he's been all over the dome.
Especially like on our Wednesday podcast. So what we normally do is we tape right after the game, which is wildly successful on YouTube. Like I look there and I'm like, I can't believe it clicks.
Oddest thing to hit the YouTube since a panda sneezing.
Probably. And so, like, what we do a lot of post-game stuff there, obviously, and what he gets right out of the locker room and all that. So that does really well. It does really well on YouTube, too. But it's also, you know, a regular thing on the Odyssey app. And I'm very appreciative of all the people that download the podcast on that. But the Wednesday one, man, there's always good stuff, like little nuggets about the team. I'm always surprised by sometimes the stuff that Daryl has, and I'm like, I had no idea that was going on, or this is that, or wow, I can't believe this is why this is happening with the Dome. He's got a lot of the answers behind the stuff, and you know the future of where they're going to play. And so I would the Wednesday podcast always has that kind of stuff, and then Daryl throughout the week does these things called Brownie Bites, where it supplements what he writes for on the website at 92.3 The Fan. But he always has some insight or some stuff throughout the week. So Daryl and I are pretty much doing 2 podcasts a week as far as the Browns are concerned, and then we'll figure out what we'll do in the off season. But it's been a good year. I will tell you that a lot of people are finding it for the first time, even though it's been on for a few years. All right, let's talk about the Cavs.
Well, hang on. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, 92thefan.com, on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast, sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. So, yeah, make sure you subscribe that because it is great stuff coming out of that pod. Now, you were saying.
No, I was just, the Cavs to me are this. I don't know. Are they a great surprise? Are they? We knew they had talent on the team, but you come out again, and now you're 5-0 to start the season. You got Orlando here. Now, next week's going to be really interesting, or not this weekend, I'm sorry, with Milwaukee. So you got Milwaukee on Saturday at Milwaukee, and then they come back home on Monday night. And so they're pretty much playing every other day right now, too. So you've got Orlando tonight. You've got Milwaukee at Milwaukee tomorrow. So they'll hop on a plane after the game. To me, that could be a kind of a schedule loss. You know what I'm saying? That's a quick turn. And then come right back and play Milwaukee. But, I mean, the way they're playing right now, why would you – I'm not penciling in losses anywhere.
I wouldn't. And the reason that I wouldn't pencil in losses anywhere is because they're finding scoring from everywhere.
So four out of the 5 games, they've had a different leading score. So Mobley now twice after leading the team with 25. So Toronto, the first game of the season, he had 25. Against Los Angeles last night, the Lakers, he had 25. But otherwise, it's Garland with 34, Mitchell with 30, Wade with 19.
Yeah. And by the way, Dean Wade has been awesome in the I hate calling it the small forward. It's really the 3 at this point, and it's right. Just due to the fact that like positions have become so fluid at this point. But Dean Wade has been awesome in that starting lineup. And just his ability to stretch the floor, he's been doing well on the defensive end as well. Like, it's been really impressive to watch Dean Wade step in there. And I know they're going to have a conversation when Max Strus comes back. Boy, I have a hard time limiting the amount of minutes I'm giving Dean Wade right now. If his body can hold up and if his body can handle it, then keep him going, because, boy, is he playing well. I mean, just it looks like the offense so far, and again, we're five games in, but it looks like the offense you wanted to sign up for. It looks like the offense that we were craving when J.B. Bickerstaff was here. The ball is moving. They're moving without the ball. Everybody's getting touches. Everybody's finding points. There's different ways that people can exist in here, and they could score a number of ways. They could score inside. They could throw it in the post. They can operate in high screen and roll. They can operate off the wings. They can, like, there's so many different ways. And the other thing that's been so impressive, man, is the fact Ty Jerome stepping in, and it's almost like you bring in another offense when Ty Jerome steps in there. Of somebody who's like, okay, I'm going to be a pass-first point guard, an old-school facilitating point guard, and we're going to set everybody else up, and I'll find points along the way. Like, it just feels like this team is so much more multifaceted than it once was.
It's fun, but I think you asked the other question is, are you a believer? And, you know, I love looking at headlines. I mean, that's the whole reason Quick Predicts kind of evolved in the beginning. But so just I'm just looking at, you know, some of the headlines, Cleveland.com, Chris Fedor talking about the Cavs' hot start. Sports Illustrated, Cavs fans will be fired up, right? They're fired up about some big take about the way they're playing right now. King James Gospel, Cavaliers silence the doubters in monstrous win over the Lakers. Fadeaway World, Cavaliers' hot start, are they for real this time? Like, all these headlines that are sitting there, and I think we're all kind of wondering what this, like, what this is. And is it as simple as just changing the coach? Is it really that simple? Or I think it's a combination of you've got a new philosophy.
Yeah.
Guys are fired up about their role on this team. And I still want to see how this works with Garland as we progress throughout the season. Because right now, everything's perfect, right? Everybody's work. Garland, you find a spot for him to be the go-to guy, or he makes his own way, you know, give him the ball, give him the opportunity. And it seems to me like, you know, Kenny's got no problem with guys firing off threes, even if there's no one underneath the bucket to get the rebound. So, and if I'm a coach that's 5-0 right now, I'm thinking about retiring. Hey, I'm walking out, man. See you later.
But
peace
it feels
out.
Like threes in the flow of an offense. Last year, right, it felt like three-pointers. It was like J.B. Bickerstaff, go ahead and go shoot threes. Well, where do you want us to shoot him from, coach? Behind the three-point line. Go get him, kids. Like, that's kind of what it felt like, where this feels like there's an offense, there's a flow to it, we're setting people up, and as long as you're winning, you're not worried about that. Now, exactly what you're saying, it's the most truthful statement of life. Every single solution isn't typically one thing. It's typically a bunch of things that cause one thing to happen, and where the blame pie takes you is a different conversation. I think some of it might be maturity. I think some of it might be the fact that, you know, Donovan Mitchell went, this is my home, I'm staying right here, let's go. I think some of it is the fact that Evan Mobley is taken care of long term. Maybe he's pressing a little bit less, knowing that no matter what, I'm going to be compensated for the rest of my life. Maybe it's, hey, we spent the offseason with Evan Mobley working on his ball handling skills and his ability to do different things to fit inside of this offense, so we have another facet. Like, there are so many aspects that go into all of this that make it what it is. The questions we have, we're not going to know until later on, which is, okay, what does this look like with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you're down by 7? Who has the ball in their hands? Who's scoring? And is everybody okay with that idea? Like, that's the kind of stuff that I wonder about with this offense. Is it just going to be, again, Donovan Mitchell, here's the ball, high screen and roll, pound, 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 spread the floor, or are you going to still run semblance of an offense to get the job done? And then keep high screen and roll in your back pocket, but also have all of these other facets you could succeed with. That's what I worry about, wonder with this team. Worry is the wrong word, wonder.
I don't know, I'm just enjoying the ride at this point.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're five games into the season. It's like, okay, if you're 3-2, then no one's going to worry about it. But they won games that I think that, I don't want to say championship quality teams, but I'll say this, good teams in the NBA should be winning. Toronto, Detroit, Washington,
Yeah.
Those are games that are going to... I think
you
Orlando...
beat the Dregs. You got to beat the Dregs.
I actually think Orlando is a really good test for this team because we know what kind of pressure they put on them during the playoffs last year.
Yeah, without Paolo, though, it's tough. I mean, it'll be a fun test and all that kind of stuff. Not having Paolo there is like, oh. As someone who just enjoys good basketball, I know Cat, you know, they're, you don't root for injuries, but I know right, they're so
what's
fans.
What's the rub here then on Milwaukee the next two games? And they're by the stuffing. Way, can we go into this? Do we like this? This is what, the second year of this where now you have back-to-backs, almost a mini baseball kind of format where you play, like, they play Milwaukee twice, they play Atlanta twice, coming up a little bit later in the month. I'm looking for their back-to-back games against teams. They have Indiana in January back-to-back. I'm assuming this is all central teams.
Yeah. I'm good with it. I mean, that's how you play in a series anyway. Like, when you start getting into the playoffs, you run into the same situation. Like, I'm fine with it. Save you a little on travel, save you a little on hotel. Okay, sure. I have no issue.
You still have to travel. It's a home and an away.
Right, but you save on the airplane. You know, not having to hop on the airplane to fly somewhere else to play that game. Instead, you just play the two that are there.
I love the fact they don't have to make a West Coast trip until after Christmas. It's Golden State, Los Angeles. I mean, they don't play the Lakers until December 30th. They play them New Year's Eve.
That'd be fun to keep
on.
It's
a 9 o'clock start against the Lakers on New Year's Eve. That's interesting.
Seacrest out, Cavs in.
Yeah, oh, good call. Mm-hmm. Good call. Let me sneak in a phone call here. Ron's in Lakewood. Hi, Ron. How are you, Ron?
I'm doing great. How are you guys
doing?
Thanks
for calling, man. How are you?
No, everything's great. From what I observe, if I look back at it last year, it was either Baldwin won the game for us or Mitchell won the game for us. And I see us playing together more as a team. As you guys stated earlier, we're setting the ball up for anybody and everybody. And I know it's five games in, Andy, and you know I'm a believer. I've been a Cleveland fan for five decades. We're going places. And not to blame Blinkerstaff, whatever his name is, but I tell you what, this coach has his team going. We're 5-0. And it's not truly to talk about a championship team. Look at the players we have.
You're right, Ron, and the idea that it's your turn, my turn basketball, it doesn't feel like it's there anymore. It doesn't feel like whoever brings the ball up the floor gets to shoot. You know, which for a while with that offense last year, it felt like whoever brought the ball up the floor gets to shoot. You know, not totally to the level of Dallas last year, but like it kind of got close. And it definitely feels like there is a system, there is an offense that all fits together, and it's working right now. Now, we're five games into an 82-game season, so you take everything with a grain of salt. But, man, it's a lot of fun.
Let's go. Oh, here we go. Desmond, New York City. What's up, Des?
Hi, Des.
Hey.
Hey.
Let's calm down.
You got your Cole Palmer jersey yet for Chelsea Football Club? Did you buy that one yet?
No.
Okay.
I'm giving up on Chelsea. I'm switching over to Arsenal.
That's some serious front running on your point.
I wish I could call you a Fairweather fan, but I have no idea,
That's some serious front runner.
I like the Arsenal fans more, a bit more rowdy.
That is an accurate point. That's an accurate point.
All right, Des, we shouldn't be excited over the win over your Knicks, right?
Absolutely not. Come on, man.
No,
It's like a preseason game. You can't assess an NBA team until 20 games in anyway.
I don't know. They're doing things that were bothering fans, that were bothering us. It seems like the correctable things have been corrected. And I don't care who they're playing. You still got to – I mean, Mobley's got an impact in some of these games. He's playing more aggressive. The style is different. And you can – as a basketball aficionado that you are, you can respect that and recognize that.
I don't like the roster. I don't like the roster. You know, the Bucks are cooked, so they're going to trade Giannis probably. I think Giannis is gone, definitely gone by the trade deadline.
100%. Coming to the Knicks or no?
No.
You don't want him?
Okay. Probably going to the Heat. He's probably going to the Heat. But, you know, I think the Cavs are a good team for sure. I don't think they're a championship-level team. I think they're like a 4 or 5 seed. And one injury, though. One injury to Donovan, and they're a play-in team. And that's for sure. Like, Donovan goes down for 2, 3, 4 weeks, they're a play-in team.
But let's be honest. If Brunson goes down for the Knicks, what does it look like?
The Knicks are star-studded, man. The Knicks are top-heavy. All the Knicks need is a 3-point shooter, and they'll get one at the deadline.
Yeah, see, you're higher on Towns than I am. I am not a Towns guy, Desmond. I watch him, and he just does had a 45 so much silly things.
He just had a 45-15 game.
Oh, I know, but he also fouled out in Cleveland.
Okay, well, they're looking, you know, they're just starting to play together. The Knicks, you need 20 games to assess any NBA team. Like, I'll call you when we're 20 games in, we'll see where we're at.
All right, Des. Hey, I'm taking you up on the Rangers game this year, 100%. This is the year we do it. Okay, I know. Well, I got things going on, man.
Andy, yeah. I got to tell you something. Last night I was in my hotel room. Guess what I was watching on the YES Network? Corey Kluber, Yankeeography, no-hitter.
Oh, the no-hitter?
Corey Kluber, Yankeeography.
No, you've got to sell it if you're going to do it. It's Yankeeography. Oh, my God. Just makes me nauseous. So nauseous when you're inside the stadium. Des, thank you. Thank you. Oh, you're done with him?
Yeah, he's a curse.
Goodbye, Des. Oh, man. Are you buying? Is Desmond right? Like, you can't be too excited about the Cavs too early? Then again, he's kind of a Cavs hater, let's be honest. 216-474-0092. Basket of Phelps, 92.3. All right, show gets rolling here as of right now. I want to continue this conversation about the Cavaliers and, like, when is it real? Like, at what point? I know they're 5-0, and you're looking at them like, oh, man, they're undefeated. No one else in the NBA. And they've got a couple good wins. You know, you beat New York, you beat Los Angeles, and. You've got Orlando tonight at home. You've got Milwaukee twice, and then New Orleans. You're on the road next Wednesday. Golden State is here next Friday. Brooklyn is here next Saturday. Philly, Chicago, Charlotte, Boston, New Orleans again. I'm just looking at the schedule before Thanksgiving. So Toronto. So, you know, at what point can you sink your teeth into this and go, yep, man, I'm in this, man. I think they're going all the way, or I think – they're going to give Boston fits. I think when they get to the Boston game on November 19th, I think we're going to kind of have that circled.
Yeah, and then that's a circle game.
And that's a home game. It's also a home game December 1st. So that's the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend, right? Mm-hmm. So
that's a benchmark game we're going to have circled.
Yeah, so
for darn sure.
What are we, 28th this year is Thanksgiving. So 27, Atlanta, they play around Atlanta on Thanksgiving. And, you know, I want to be all in. I love this. Like, I'm looking at a team that has kind of, I don't want to say cured its ails, because, I mean, they were a good team that dealt with a ton of injury last year. The ball is moving. It's not sticking.
They're
different guys every night. I mean, no one's expecting perfection for the entire season, but I don't know. Through five games, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, if you want to sit here and go, oh, they can't win the championship, they're not going to get by Boston, blah, blah, blah. I don't really care right now. I want to watch this team play the way I think we've all expected them to play.
If you're doing that, you can go Eeyore in the corner. You can go Eeyore somewhere else.
Yeah,
I don't want
go somewhere else.
I don't want Droopy Dog. I don't want to deal with any of those things to continue our references of old cartoons.
Giannis is getting traded. It's not going to matter if they beat Milwaukee twice.
Sorry to worry about Giannis, sir.
It's your stapler. You find it?
Exactly.
Bill is in Parma. Hello,
how are you, Bill?
Hey, great, you guys. Dan, Andy, great program.
Thank you.
Happens every so often.
You know, I've always thought in basketball, what I'm always looking for is what is the outline? What is, and pretty much what you're saying, Andy, and that is you know, we're still trying to get over what it was last year, even though Bickerstaff had them playing good basketball, and we kind of understood, but I never thought that everybody was used to their, you know, maximum capability. I think right now what Atkinson is trying to do, now bear with me here, I think he's trying to have Mobley be kind of a miniature junior Giannis and put him into that role, because the idea of planting Mobley in the paint and have him bang in to get his points is not his body size.
No.
It's not his strength. And so having him in the open court, having him dribbling the ball, having him playing basically like Giannis, that's his outline for this young man. Now, everybody else is, we don't need a 40-point-a-game scorer. And we, you know, we don't. And I've always believed that if you have a guy scoring 50 points a game, it's dysfunctional, and your team isn't running right.
I totally agree with that. Totally.
But I think what I like right now is, and you know, Desmond brought up an interesting point, and that is, you know, well, keep in mind, when Brunson came to New York Knicks from Dallas in the trade, Brunson at that time was not Brunson. And he changed it a lot to the better. What I'm hoping is, as this team transforms, players will want to come here. Players will understand that this team, with Mobley being a force, with the two guards that we have, or at least with Mitchell, this team is going to be a competitive team going down the line, and we may be able to start loading up a little bit like Boston is doing, because Boston has guys there that you know, their lineup is pretty impressive. But I think we're going to start getting those guys because they'll want to play here, and I think they will do well here. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, we talk about, yeah, I guess. I think about all the – I want to say it was wrong because I do think money talks, and I think that money talks, and at the end, if you can pay a guy. But, you know, I think about how hard it was to get guys to want to play here with LeBron, right? And, like, LeBron was like, oh, try to recruit as free agents to get here. But, I mean, we did have some pretty good teams while he was here.
I'm going to make a really dumb statement here.
Sure.
You've paid Mobley. You've paid Allen.
Yeah.
You've paid Garland. You've paid Mitchell. You paid Max Strus. You paid George Niang. You really don't have a whole lot of money to throw around to get other guys. Boston was in the perfect position to do what they did, which is they took a flyer on Kristaps Porzingis.
By the way, are we done with this? With having to build big threes and, like, do you feel like we're past that in the NBA?
Oh, we're on core fours now. We've evolved.
Oh, sorry.
Now it's okay. Core four.
Core four, okay.
Core four.
And who gets to build it? Players or the front office?
You're hearing that thrown out all over the place. Actually, it's been a while since we've heard about players trying to build their own team. They might be doing it now, just quieter. You know, before it was very loudly, we're building our own team. So, but here's the, let's lay this out.
I'm just trying to figure out if LeBron can hang around long enough for Bryce so that the three of them can play together. Well, he's only got, he's what? I think he's a junior. I think Bryce is a junior.
Who knows? I mean,
so,
that guy.
Senior. And then
who
he's
knows
go
what
one
LeBron
year,
is doing at this point to keep himself.
3 years away. I don't know when his birthday is.
Cryogenic chamber. Yeah.
I think Austin. His birthday is like end of the year, too.
Could do the Austin Powers deep freeze for him. All those things to get LeBron so he can play with everybody.
I think he's a 26 grad.
So you've paid all those guys. So like Boston, they took a flyer on Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis was always like, they, you know, he was the original unicorn and all of that kind of stuff, but the guy was perpetually hurt. And then if he wasn't hurt, he was grumpy. And like, he wanted to be the number one scorer in Dallas, and they were supposed to work with him and Luka, and it just was so clunky with the two of them. And so he found his way to Boston, where he's the third option, fourth option. Derek White was a trade acquisition that they made with San Antonio, and Drew Holiday was just this perfect storm of Milwaukee doing the panic trade for Dame Lillard, and then Portland having him and going, this guy's not going to play here at any point, so make us your best offer. Like, that's how Boston ended up coming together, and they've got this year, and then that thing is going to blow up. And the only reason is because these new luxury tax ceilings and all that kind of stuff where you can't trade picks and do all that stuff is actually having an effect. So while we're sitting here and saying these things of, oh yeah, maybe you've built something that people want to come to. Yeah, sure. But the guys that are young and emerging and are looking good are the ones that are driving this and are the ones that are properly compensated and the ones that are going anywhere unless the organization gets rid of them. So I wouldn't worry about external forces at this point. I'd instead look at the best part of this, which is that the four guys that you've locked in are the four guys that are driving this thing. Because everybody's looking for the new shiny toy that's going to come in here and fix everything. And I don't know if you're going to get that this year out of the Cavs. Unless you pull together an Isaac Okoro trade that somebody wants to move to maybe get another shooter in here.
Yeah.
But even that one, this team's in really good shape. Now, granted, everyone's healthy. We're five games in and it's merging together really well and everyone's healthy. Now, what does this look like in February? I don't know. Is somebody banged up by then? Who knows? I don't have a crystal ball. And if I did, I probably would have broken it by now. So, at least looking at this man, like, I feel good about this team. I feel really good about them. They're in a good place. They could do a lot of different things. They could score a lot of different ways. It's not a one-trick pony.
All right, just to update you on my other story there.
Yes, please.
So tell me, I mean, imagine where he's going to land. Because Bryce James is 6'6".
We're back in the cryogenic chamber?
Yeah, he's 6'6".
Okay.
180, according to Wikipedia. He's 6'6". He's only 17, but he's a June. He's a June of 07, so I think that makes him a senior, doesn't it? That would make him a senior at this point.
Sure.
Because if he's born after September, then he would have been. Although I don't know what the California guidelines are on that, but
I trust you on such things.
And I don't think if they would have redshirted him, we probably would have known that. So high school redshirt, or they should call it a Texas redshirt when you hold a kid back, so he could.
The Texas.
Although, I mean, it depends on how old you are. I see it more often than you think.
Why does Texas get all the credit? They already got a two-step. Why should they get a redshirt?
Well, because I think they were the first ones that were kind of like holding kids back in fifth and sixth grade because they could see where their growth chart was.
Got their own
barbecue. And they wanted to make sure.
Is that a dance move?
Is that insane, though, that we talk about things like
this? No one else has their own dance move.
Is that insane that I actually contemplate some of those things?
It really is. You're playing 3D chess over there.
I am?
And I'm playing Hungry Hungry Hippos.
All right, I'm just making sure. It was on the afternoon show yesterday. Dave McMenamin from ESPN was on, and he was talking about the Cavs lineup. Check this out. He was a former Cavs beat guy when LeBron was here, and then obviously, you know.
Yeah, he's on the LeBron beat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it was on Afternoon Drive yesterday.
And that's not an insult.
How does that make you feel when he says they've got the second best lineup in the East, though?
It makes me start looking at the rest of the East and going, where do I feel about this? Like
Philly.
I mean, look, if everyone's healthy, if Paul George is healthy, but Paul George is 35. Like, he's not exactly young, and no. He's coming off that whole Clippers thing where I'm 99% sure they load managed everything except for Steve Ballmer dance moves. Like, everything else was load management. So, like, I don't know if he's actually hurt or if it was just load management. Joel Embiid's going to play 55 games, and the whole goal of Joel Embiid is to have him healthy by the playoffs that he can play well. Maxey is legit. I can't say anything about Maxey. The Heat, I'm not sleeping on the Heat, and especially you got really angry and fired up Jimmy Butler to the fact that he took picture day seriously for the first time in forever. Like, I'm not sleeping on the Heat. They've got a trade to make. I'm still not sleeping on Milwaukee yet. I know Chris Middleton is perpetually hurt. And I know Dame Lillard is also 40. I'm still not sleeping on Milwaukee. Like, we'll see. I can't. This roster's in really good shape. I want to see it get a little deeper before I start saying things like that.
All right. Cavs, Magic, tonight. They try to stretch it out to 6-0. Orlando's 3-2. They'll be here 7 o'clock tip. That game is on ESPN tonight as well. When we come back, we're going to talk to Brian Anderson, super friend of the show, Rays color analyst. We'll break down the World Series. We'll talk a little bit about the Guardians with him. But more importantly, we need to talk about what is up with Nebraska football, because that is his bread and butter. And, of course, he's a gigantic Browns fan, too. So we'll get into that with him as well. In fact, at one point, hosted a Brown show while he was here in town.